This is Phil Ferrand.
And I am driving home one of these days. One of these days, I am actually going to put the recorder on the little foam pad without whacking it against the windshield or the steering wheel. Sorry. Eventually, I'm going to get a new recorder that will have a remote control, and I will not need to place it on the... Oh, sadness. Anyways, been a good week. I am leaving work a little bit early. We have our first small groups meeting for the next session tonight, and everyone's coming over for a meal. And my wife had some benevolences stuff that came up unexpectedly, and she's had a lot of things that she's had to get put together for that, so that's thrown her schedule off a little bit. So I'm leaving work a little bit early so that we can go home and get ready for people coming over. So that's all good. Been a good week at work. Got plenty of things done. And going on vacation. So we're just going to be kicking around the area for a wedding anniversary. So we'll be in and out over the next week. And, should be fun. We've got a few little places scheduled. We're going to see what there is to see. So, this is my last work day now for, unless something disastrous happens, until October the 3rd. It is the 22nd today of September 2002. So, and it's episode 704. So, lots of things. I did start book 18. This week, so I've got all the files uploaded for 17, and I think that's going to be fine. Hold on, my beloved is calling me. One moment. Okay, I'm back. She was just calling to see if I had left work yet. So, so heading home, we're gonna try to get things taken care of there. So, started book 18. I think that's going to be fine. You know, it's just a matter of sitting down and writing it now. At least I know where I am started, and I have some ideas of where we're going, but we'll see what happens. And I'm a little bit ahead because I don't technically have to start book 18 until the first week of October. But I'm hoping to get 10,000, maybe 15,000 words ahead over the next couple of days before that. And so that'll give me a little bit of a buffer as I'm moving forward. So that's all well and good. I'll be writing on book 18 for 6 weeks. So that'll take me to mid-November. And then hopefully I'll get the input from the beta readers back. And then I'll work for a month to get book 17 ready for production, release that to production in mid-December, and then once that gets released to production, take a week off for Christmas, try to organize the costumes again. I have a yearly organization because things tend to build up and accrete in the process of making costumes, and so I'll try to get reorganized on some of that stuff over Christmas holiday, clean up the cardboard boxes that are in the garage from Amazon, take all those to the recycling, these yearly tasks that we have. And then once I get the production done on book 17, then I'll start back in writing book 18, first week of January, or a little before. I have 2 months then to finish up book 18, get it ready for beta in March, do taxes, release to beta 1st of April-ish. So things to do. Still working on the Wear It Pink costume. That seems to be going fine. I'm going to take some supplies with me on vacation and see what we can get done there. Should be able to get it mostly finished up. I have a costume that's kind of an emergency build because I didn't think I was going to be doing a costume next week. I thought we were going to be out of town, but then we decided that we would swing back into town for Thursday evening because it's the first time we do a small group with a devotional, and so we wanted to be in town for that, which means I will be in town to go grocery shopping on Friday morning. And since I'm going to be in town to go grocery shopping on Friday morning, might as well have a costume. I did have a costume I could use. Next week, well, week after next, on October the 6th, is actually Mad Hatter Day. And people love the Mad Hatter Day costume. And that would have been fine. But it's October the 6th, which means it would be like the next Thursday. That's a little far away. So I was looking around, and a couple of weeks ago, I think I mentioned this on the podcast, I found a holiday on the 30th of November called Love People Day, National Love People Day, which is a good holiday. I like that. Watch over others, be kind, etc., etc., etc. And so I thought, well, that's good, but I wasn't really sure what to do for a costume for that. And so when I found that particular day, I was going to breakfast with a friend. And when I told my friend that Love People Day was coming up, because I was rehearsing the fact that I looked at the Mad Hatter costume and it was a little like, well, you could do that if you wanted to, which means there's something else. I found this Love People Day, but I just had no idea what to do for a costume for it. And as soon as I said Love People Day, he said, now when's that? And he wrote it down in his book. And so I told him afterwards, I said, well, maybe this was just for you. And I was content to say, yep, okay, that's what that was for. So then yesterday, once I realized I was going to be in town, actually, was it this morning? I think it was this morning when I went out for a run. I was like, okay, so what are we going to do? And so I was kind of thinking, and it was interesting because sometime this morning, I had this thought, inflatables. And I thought, oh, okay, inflatable. And then as I was out for a run, I was thinking, I wonder if they make like a big teddy bear mascot suit or something like that. Because we could do like free hugs, you know, just wear a free hugs t-shirt and maybe just do that. So then I looked for that. There were some more expensive ones, but there wasn't anything that I really, you know, floated my boat. There was a mascot head, teddy bear mascot head that was available. And then I was thinking, oh, okay, well, maybe I'll just, you know, make a teddy bear mascot body because that can't be that hard. And then I thought, oh, well, maybe I'll just search for bear mascot costume. Well, there was an inflatable bear mascot costume that came up that's a grizzly bear with his jaw open, with his teeth showing and his sharp claws. And then the thought came to me, Love People Day, because bears love peoples. I thought, well, that's kind of cute. That's funny. So I ordered that, and then I looked a little more for an inflatable bear costume, and there was a white bear. What do they call it? Polar bear. You know, kind of like the Coca-Cola polar bear. I went ahead and ordered that too because we love Amazon because we can send stuff back. So I went ahead and ordered that too, and that bear is similar enough to the Coca-Cola bears that I could go ahead and get a red scarf and get a free hugs t-shirt of some sort or make one And so I could wear a red Free Hugs t-shirt with the red and white striped kind of polar bear Coke scarf, maybe a find an extra large Santa hat or something that I could wear with it. And that would all work. So I thought, well, that'll all be fun. Well, there is a joke associated with polar bears loving people. And today I had texted my buddy and I had found the nationallovepeople.com website, and they have all kinds of t-shirts and they have all that stuff. And so I had just texted him and said, hey, I didn't know if you saw this. And he said, I hadn't. He said, but it's too late for me to get a t-shirt now. So, and I said, I wasn't planning on celebrating this, but I think I am, and I think I'm going to go ahead and get, like, an inflatable bear costume, because, you know, bears love people, too. And he immediately wrote back, and he said, yeah, they're tasty. And I'm like, yep, that's the joke. That is the joke, and yes, that joke will work. So, I'm not sure yet if I'm going with the grizzly bear or the polar bear. If I went with the polar bear, the follow-on joke is, why do polar bears love igloos? Because they're crunchy on the outside and gooey on the inside. So, ba-dum, or soft on the inside. So, ba-dum. we'll see. I may do that. People at Walmart will love those jokes. So, yeah, I probably will do that. I've got the inflatables coming in, but they won't be in until tomorrow. We are going to be out and about, so I'll have to get this all coordinated. But, you know, I think I can get this put together by a week from tomorrow. We'll see. Anyways, so all is well there. Going home, going to help my beloved get ready for small groups. And then like that and like that and like that. So we live in very... of things, I'm going to have to get at it as soon as I get home. So I'm going to go ahead and just launch here. We live in very, very interesting times. I mean, we live in very interesting times. I would like to say that this is a spoof and it's not real, but a buddy of mine actually texted me from a news story. That kind of surprised me. And I saw the video. I mean, videos can be spoofed at this point. But I heard her say it on the video, and it sure sounded like her, but that could be spoofed as well. So there's an article today about Stacey Abrams, who is running for office in Georgia, and there's video of her that has surfaced where she is saying that unborn babies' heartbeats at 6 weeks are not real, that they're a manufactured sound tool of the patriarchy. Like, what? What are you talking about? It's so interesting. And of course, none of this kind of crazy stuff gets covered in the national media. And who knows, maybe she really didn't say that. Maybe it's just like fake news. I don't know. If we are to the point where we can produce that type of video with that type of something that sounds real of people saying whatever you want them to say, it's, whoa, we are in for interesting times. Aside from that very interesting thing, though, the other very interesting thing that's happening is the rhetoric is really amping up, and we have people now who are standing up and saying, okay, we're done, which is really interesting. I mean, we saw that happening with the parents and the school boards where the parents were tired of not being told what was going on with their child's, and the schools felt like they could, for instance, have secret closets at the school where kids were welcome to go in and to change into whatever clothes of whatever gender they wanted, and no one was going to tell the parents. I mean, there's a lot of that stuff going on. But it's interesting because Matt Walsh, who's a conservative podcaster, he did the film What is a Woman? He has decided he's throwing down the gauntlet, that he's done. And so, for instance, he decided that they've got this Vanderbilt University, I think, there in Nashville, the University Medical Center, Vanderbilt University Medical Center, and so, and they had have a transgender clinic there, and so he decided, okay, fine, let's find out what's going on over there. And so they did an investigation, and this is going to be really short because I'm going to be home here in just a few minutes. And as it turns out, there was video from when the clinic opened in 2018. And what was so interesting about this to me was that we have talked in the last several weeks ago about the fact that the energy from this transgender movement, one of the components of that energy is finances. That medical facilities can make a lot of money off of this. And that's kind of a cynical statement to make, because that was just being done from the fact that these surgeries do make a lot of money. And so obviously one of the reasons the hospitals might be doing it is because they make a lot of money. But there was no kind of real proof that, you know, that was in the mix. Well, they found video from 2018 when they were talking about making this, when they were talking about making this video, they found video from 2018. And the lady who championed having this transgender clinic open on Vanderbilt University openly talks about how much money they can make on these surgeries. How that, you know, cutting the breasts off a young woman, that's like $40,000, and vagioplasties and phalloplasties, you know, constructing artificial vaginas and artificial penises. She was saying, well, it says here that it's $20,000, but that's really low. By the time you get all the visits in, it's $100,000. And she was talking about this thing. And we, with all these cross-sex hormones and, you know, puberty blockers, it can run into thousands of dollars. And there are some clinics that they completely support themselves with these types of surgeries. And it's like, oh, whoa. You're talking about surgeries on young people that are irreversible. Yeah, it seems a bit untoward to be talking about all the money that you're going to be making from these things. Well, you know, now that Matt Walsh and his people were investigating and asking for comment and that sort of thing, that like the videos have disappeared off the website. They've just disappeared. A lot of stuff is, you know, they've just taken it down. And Matt Walsh, I think, quite correctly said, if you look at something like a Planned Parenthood clinic, and you've got people saying, well, they try to talk women out of abortions, and they try to give them other options. They try to, you know, not Planned Parenthood, but pregnancy crisis centers. The pregnancy crisis centers would say, yeah, that's what we do, because we think life is precious. So if a woman comes to us and she wants other options, yes, absolutely, we try to supply her other options. And he said, if you really believe in what you're doing, if someone brings light to what you're doing, you should be of the opinion, yeah, absolutely, that's what we're doing. I'm getting my mail, one moment. And he said he thought that it was very telling that as soon as you shine a spotlight on Vanderbilt University's transgender clinic and some of the things that they were saying about them, and discussing the fact that, yes, they give puberty blockers and replacement hormones to 16-year-olds, and in some cases, as young as 13-year-olds, that all of a sudden that stuff starts disappearing from their website once they get tagged as that information actually being there. And he said he thought that that was telling that that got tagged. So it is very interesting. We do live in very interesting times. And I am home, so I'm going to have to go. But it's fascinating, and it's going to be fascinating to see where all of this actually lines out. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.